Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
Brainwaves, hear the world differently. Bringing community mental health to you, raising awareness and challenging stigma. Tune in to 3CR Community Radio, Wednesdays at 5pm.
Melbourne's Drive Time Radio program, featuring community organisations, powerful stories and information. Find us at brainwaves.org.au. Proudly sponsored by Wellways Australia.
I would like to begin by paying my respects to the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, who are the traditional custodians of the land on which I am coming to you from today. Land where at Brainwaves we tell our stories, and land where the traditional custodians have told their stories for many, many years before us, and continue to tell their stories. I would like to pay my respects to elders past and present, and acknowledge all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander listeners who are listening today.
Hello and welcome to Brainwaves on 3CR 855am, 3CR Digital Radio and online at 3cr.org.au. I'm Mark and today we're joined by actor and performer Danny Diesendorf, who's also the project manager at Circus Nexus in Preston. We'll be chatting about circus, mental health and how Circus Nexus is working to make circus more accessible to everyone. Thank you for joining us this evening, Danny.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
So I suppose to get things started, could you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, share a bit about your background? I understand you've worked across theatre, circus and performance. How did that all begin and how did you get here?
Look, it began because I really wanted to be funny as a kid and I enjoyed clowning around and doing tricks at the dining table, really, for anyone who'd watch. Later on, I got into learning some circus skills, partly because my big brother very kindly made me some stilts. And then later I went to circus classes, and I was mainly interested in using the circus skills again for clowning purposes, and like, you know, being funny. From there, actually, my first job was as a clown. So initially doing kids' parties, but then very soon afterwards doing festivals and events. Because I was in Canberra, there weren't actually a lot of people doing that work there. There weren't a lot of clowns and street theatre performers. I got together with a bunch of people who loved both theatre and circus and clowning. We formed this little company called Full Tilt Performance Troupe, and often used big stilt costumes and funny characters and sort of spectacular looking costumes, and got out at events. First of all, it was just in Canberra, but then further afield, and we also did theatre alongside that. So we'd sometimes do the outdoor work and sometimes we'd do theatre shows.
And when you say that you did theatre shows, is that scripted shows or...?
Yeah, some of those were scripted, but there was pretty much always an improv element because we studied commedia, which is masked clowning, which is quite an old tradition and it traditionally involves some improvisation. So we try and work the improvisation into what we did, which kept it more fun for us and hopefully the audience. And it kind of meshed quite well with our street theatre work because with street theatre you absolutely have to improvise because you're working off the audience. So that was the kind of clown-based work that I was drawn to. And since then I've gone more into improv theatre and other theatre.
Awesome. So You're now the project manager at Circus Nexus. Can you tell us what Circus Nexus is and what they're all about and how you got involved with them?
Yeah. Circus Nexus is really all about teaching circus, and it can be with kids, with adults, with people with disabilities, people going through mental health concerns. We teach in our big circus studio in Preston, which is in an old Amazon warehouse that's now full of circus rigging and trampolines and mats and everything. We also go out around Victoria and take classes in all kinds of places. So just today we ran a workshop in Traralgon in a youth residential recovery centre. That's basically for people under 25 who are recovering from mental health issues and kind of getting their feet back with maybe getting work or getting into study and just, you know, getting into a good routine in their life. And, yeah, and we found that people just really enjoy circus because it's a great way to get physical. It's a kind of, I think it's a bit like a physical meditation as well, because it takes quite a bit of focus, but it's also quite fun, and it's kind of fine if you drop the balls and have to pick them up again, because everybody's going to. That's just part of learning it. So yeah, it seems to be a great fit for a lot of people.
For those who might not be familiar, when we talk about circus skills, what does that actually include?
Yeah, that's a lot of different things. So we have juggling, and we might have all kinds of different objects within juggling, from balls to clubs to rings. Trick sticks, which is, you know, one kind of fancy stick that you throw around with two other sticks. Hoops. Tumbling, doing rolls and flips and salts, back salts and that kind of thing. Acrobalance, which is basically a fancy way of saying standing on other people. Trampoline. Then there's all the aerials, like trapeze and silks. And, I mean, there's more. I could go on, but those are some of the main ones. Yeah.
And, yeah, so what are some of the benefits of learning circus skills? I imagine that people coming into class aren't aiming to join Cirque du Soleil or something like that. Why do people come to learn circus skills?
Yeah, well, I started learning circus when I was quite young, maybe 10, and I was never focused enough on it for joining Cirque du Soleil or getting to that level of skill. I wasn't a very athletic kid. But, you know, you can really just, if you keep practicing, pick up a whole lot of skills that are just really fun. Yeah, it's also gets you playing with balance and using, sort of relating to the world in a different way once you're balancing objects and creating interesting patterns with the objects as well, which happens with hoops and juggling, balancing on other people as well. I really think that kind of opens up a nice way of connecting in a group. So that's really fun and sort of breaks down this idea of us moving in sensible ways. You know, it's like circus is innately playful and it's not how we normally move. So it opens up a few more possibilities. I think it's also a chance to enjoy making mistakes, because you just can't learn circus without slipping off the tightrope or dropping the juggling balls a lot of times. So it's a nice thing to do in a group where there's just, it creates this atmosphere that we're all going to try things, we're all going to not get it, and we're going to just keep having a go, and the skills stick much faster than you expect as well.
So Circus Nexus also runs classes tailored for people with mental health struggles and disabilities. How did that idea first come about? How was that proposed?
I wasn't around when when Circus Nexus first started working in that area, because Circus Nexus is 20 years, well, over 20 years old, probably 25 years old, and I've been with the circus nearly 4 years. So I think when Circus Nexus was set up, and it was originally called West Side Circus, a lot of its goal was to really be inclusive, because a lot of people who were using circus, even performers, originally got into it because it was useful for them and it helped them just grow as people. So I think that, it seemed like an obvious next step to then share it with people who might kind of just have more need for something that's exciting and helps you grow in all kinds of ways.
Yeah, so how long do you know how long the these classes have been running while Circus Nexus has been around?
I think that classes with people with disabilities have been there from the start, also alongside classes for kids in public housing estates. They were also an important part of the, West Side Circus, as it used to be called, of their work in the West. And that's continued as well. So we also work with kind of people with less money that want to get physical and learn some great skills.
And what kind of circus skills are taught in these inclusive classes?
That depends on whether people are doing a class in our studio or whether we come out to where people are. So, for example, our classes at the, we've been doing a few different classes at the youth residential recovery centres, which are out in the country. So we don't take trapeze out there because that's got too much equipment. But we will take mats for tumbling and acrobats. We'll probably spend most of the time on things like juggling, trick sticks, hoops, Diablo. So they're skills that you basically you using a prop essentially, and they're really easy to practice in your own time because you don't need mats or anything. You just need quite a cheap piece of equipment, and then you can just learn it. Or some oranges, for example, with juggling will do the job too.
And beyond teaching circus skills, what kind of training do your instructors at Circus Nexus have to learn to support people with different needs?
Well, we pass on a lot of the skills for working with different groups by having an instructor who's very experienced work with a newer instructor. So we always teach in a team of two or three coaches, and we have a really high number of coaches for the number of students. So in a more intense disability class, it might be one coach for each three or four students, so people can get a lot of assistance. We also run training, say in working with people who are neurodiverse. We just recently ran training on working with people on the spectrum and how people's sensory needs can be very different. And we also, also bring up common ways that you'd need to adapt a class depending on people's mental health. So a lot of that can be really being very flexible, allowing a class structure where there perhaps aren't so many highly structured activities right at the start, We might start in a very playful way by just introducing a prop and teaching something really simple with it that gets people started and gets them having fun using that. Like it could be throwing a trick stick between different people. And we'd set that up so you can't fail. Basically, everyone gets that first step, and play some games using the circus equipment. And then we might do something slightly more structured, like a traditional warm-up. Once people have got a little bit of confidence with what's going on, and usually that confidence comes from getting to play with the circus gear.
Yeah, and what when you talk about the training that teachers undergo, how is that structured, and where does that take place, and what does it look like usually?
We've run different kinds of training for our coaches. So some of it's been online, like we've worked with a Queensland-based researcher and trainer who's very experienced with circus and autism. That's Dr. Christy Seymour. He's done a lot of research on how circus fits really well for people on the spectrum. A lot because it's inclusive and very adaptable. What skills you want to engage with, how you might learn. It's not sort of strict like a ballet school might tend to be. Sorry to any ballet teachers out there, because you might actually not be so strict, but and also how it can kind of just be adapted to where people are at with their sensory needs or their focus, level of focus, or how they want to get physical as well.
Mm. And what kind of considerations do, have to be considered when structuring a class? How was that? How, as a team at Circus Nexus, how do you sort of get together and sort of talk about how to structure it in a way that's accessible for people?
Yeah, a lot of that is about when to be structured and when to not be so structured. Both approaches are really great for getting people involved. So people just playing with the circus equipment with one-to-one on help can be just so personable and such a nice way to just have a conversation, and a really good way to include people who are, as you put it, they're not there to join Cirque du Soleil. They're just there to have fun and pick up some skills. And then the structured group activities can be really good to helping everyone get to know each other, learning a bit more of the rituals of circus and of getting your body conditioned and ready for the exercises. That structure can be very reassuring as well.
What does it mean to condition one's body to be ready for circus? What does that mean?
So, for example, some stretching, getting... probably being too technical, but yeah, it might be some stretching, or it might be getting your blood racing by having a run around the space. It might be getting ready to bear weight and getting your joints ready for that. So we might do some drills around just leaning on each other, or doing what we'd call a counterbalance. Might be holding hands and leaning backwards. So you make a nice balance with another person. So, yeah, it's not going in cold, basically, to those things where you have somebody standing on your hips or something.
And the class sizes, how many students would there be per class?
That's really variable, Mark. So we've had classes where we've had... 10 coaches at once and 40 students sometimes, or busily, using different parts of the circus studio at once. They become a bunch of mini classes for most of the session, although there might be a big fun warm-up game where everyone's in that together. A lot of our classes are quite small. For example, I'm running a class at the Children's Mental Health Inpatient Unit at the Austin, and that might have just sometimes as few as two kids in the class and two coaches. So we really give them a lot of help one-on-one. And that small class size is needed because often those kids are really, really anxious and might be really worried about starting an activity that's not familiar. So just having an adult who's, you know, we might be playing with the juggling equipment with each other, and then we might invite them in and show them, say, a trick you can do with one ball, and get them started on that. And before they know it, they're having fun, and some of them often quite quickly, like earlier this week, there was a boy who was within the first 10 minutes, he was making up his own tricks with one ball. And really, you know, showing everyone, showing the nurses and showing his dad, and just, you know, having a lovely, lovely sense of fun as so many kids do. So, yeah, it's really varied, whether it's big or small.
And to join these classes, do participants need a formal diagnosis to enroll?
No. So we have disability classes on Saturdays, and it's basically people decide if that's the right class for them. That one's a youth class. That's kind of teenagers and kids in one class. We've also got on Fridays, we've got classes that are more around autism, ADHD and neurodiversity. We've got a kids class and an older teens class. It's very much if people think that's the right class for them, then it is. And they can try out classes and don't need to pay. If they come to one session and decide it's not for them, that's fine. So we like people to do a trial and give it a go.
And on a personal level, did you already have experience supporting people with these types of needs, or has that been something that you've learned along the way?
Actually, yeah, I did have experience, but it was working with teaching theatre to people with disabilities. Actually, my first specialised disability class, I was teaching cooking at Brunswick Neighbourhood House, and we'd cook up this fancy lunch each week, which was great fun. And I didn't have a background in disability, but I just sort of found, you know, I enjoyed it and got along well with people that came to the class. And then from there I started doing some theatre classes with Melbourne Polytechnic. It was a mixed group, but it would have a lot of people with disabilities in the class, probably two-thirds in that particular course. And we would make shows over the months of the course and put them on in the North Melbourne Town Hall. So I learned a huge amount about working with people who were bringing different things to the group, and A lot of people with disabilities often bring something really great to performance as well, through bringing different life experience, different perspectives. So I often find just great humour as well comes out, which transfers really well to circus.
From that point where you were just getting involved in working with people with disabilities to now, are there any particular sort of memories or lessons that you can sort of recall that were particularly sort of marking for you, or sort of really left a sort of like a particular memory for you?
Yeah, look, I think a big learning is to give people space to explore what they enjoy and then give them a bit of help to tweak it so it becomes something really really enjoyable for an audience, or even more enjoyable for them if they don't want to take it to an audience. Like, I think some of the general skills that a director uses with any performer work quite well in the teaching space of just going, wow, I see what you're doing there. It's great. How can we make that even more exciting? But to take your time to work out what it is that they've got to offer.
And at Circus Nexus, can you share any stories or examples about how these classes have impacted participants taking part?
Sure. We ran a class at the psych unit at the Austin for most of last year. Currently not funded to keep running that, unfortunately. But there were a lot of really nice interactions between the participants and between myself and the participants during that. I really remember there was one person who spoke quite a bit about how they were trying to recover from pretty bad depression, and they really took a liking to juggling and put in lots of work and would practice in between our weekly sessions, and they were really one of the quickest learners I've ever come across. And it was just such a pleasure to teach them a new trick or show them something, and they go, you know, they just absolutely run with it. And, you know, it was this shared pleasure, because also there was another person there at the time who really, really got into juggling and the fun of juggling. And juggling can be by yourself or with a partner. So the two of them had a lovely connection through the juggling as well. And we go out in the courtyard and practice out there in the, you know, in the sun with the birds. It's just, yeah, it was a really great experience to be part of.
When you're teaching people, what circus skills do you specialize in teaching? What do you enjoy teaching people?
I like teaching juggling, trick sticks, and tightrope the most. I'm actually not very good on a tightrope because I just learnt with a slack rope, which is much cheaper version of the tightrope. Is basically you can tie a rope between two trees and you leave it sort of hanging loose, whereas the tightrope's actually it's a bit easier to get started on. It's a full-on tensioned cable, so it doesn't wobble around everywhere. I really enjoy teaching those. I think there's something lovely about focusing on balance, and I think that it changes your inner state to focus on balancing yourself in space. And give it time in a way that we don't normally every day. You probably feel a bit silly going down the park and, I don't know, balancing on one foot or something. But when it becomes an organized activity and you're, you know, doing an acrobalance exercise with a partner, or you're balancing on a tightrope and becomes a thing, then you can really put in that time to train your balance into something new. And it's quite satisfying, and, you know, quite a particular feeling to make progress in that.
So Yeah, you did mention that earlier that it can be quite meditative, and I think that that you sort of unpacked that a bit more about how learning circus skills can be a meditative practice, which is obviously can be very good for our sort of mental well-being. But yeah, well, back in the day, what led you to learning tightrope in that way? Was this something that you just did yourself, with got a rope yourself and tied it between two trees, or with a group of other people that were hoping to learn? Was it?
Yeah.
How did that come about?
Look, I started on circus as a teenager and as a kid, and I reckon I had a pretty strong drive to show off. I reckon that's where a part of it came from, as a healthy fun of showing off. And I think the first skill I started was stilts. So I had these wooden stilts that you just held. They weren't tied to your legs. And I'd walk around the neighborhood kind of enjoying the attention as a 12-year-old boy of being really tall on these wooden stilts. And then from there I got into juggling. And I just thought of walking on a tightrope, there was something really cool about it. I suppose it was defying gravity. It looked a bit impossible and a bit almost like a superpower, I suppose.
And you just taught yourself?
I just taught myself. So initially I had a couple of sticks that were on the ground. So that got me started, and I learned later that that's a common training tool, but I just kind of tried it out.
Yeah, it sounded like it was quite intuitive for you to just do that, learn it that way, especially having learned to walk on stilts first perhaps as well.
Yeah, and I think there was just a lot of I think my brother and I and some other kids just like to play with challenging ourselves, whether it was climbing trees or balancing on things. So that was kind of a natural next step.
Hmm.
And then I later on did some classes too.
Yeah, awesome. So I guess finally, where can our listeners find out more about you and what you do and about Circus Nexus?
Yeah, well, they can come into Circus Nexus and see everything, and you can basically pop in whenever you like. We're on at number 1 Chifley Drive in Preston, kind of near Northland.
Thank you so much, Danny, for joining us on Brainwaves tonight. It's been a pleasure learning from you and just hearing about, I think that people might be quite surprised to hear how beneficial learning circus skills can be for our mental health.
Hmm. Yeah, well, I hope people come and try it out.
I do too.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you so much.
See you then. Bye.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Brainwaves on 3CR. You can find more of our shows on the 3CR website, 3cr.org.au, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to send us feedback or suggestions for shows via email at brainwaves@wellways.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next Wednesday for an interview with singer-songwriter Curtis Yates.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.